Oh, cool. Real quick, if you want to, I didn't think to like work in a crack into the topic moment. So if you want to crack open your monster, like whenever you would like to, just up to you.
I got a little bit of a drive home. I got about five and a half hours to go.
Well, if you want to save it for then, that works too.
No, I can start on it now.
There you go.
You want to intro it?
Here's the crack into the topic moment with Kyler Rice. Hey, there you go. It's waterproof enough, don't worry about it.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Pre-Dead Boys. Dorian here. Today we've got something very extra cool for you today. We have an interview with Kyla Rice. By night, Kyla is a 911 dispatcher for Niagara County Sheriff's Office. By day, she volunteers as a trainer and handler of a human remains detection dog, also known as cadaver dogs, through Niagara County Emergency Services. She currently handles a very decorated and handsome and wonderful German Shepherd named Emmerich. Earlier this month, Kyla and Emmerich were in Ohio for a seminar, and they generously offered to meet us in Columbus for an interview. This was super insightful, learned a lot, had a lot of fun. It's probably the single coolest thing we've been able to do with this podcast up to this point. So, you know, special shout out to everyone who shares the podcast, supports us, helping us get to this point. It's very exciting. Emmerich is a very sweet and hardworking dog. We got to watch a brief demonstration of his detection skills, and that was amazing. And Kyla is a total blast to talk to. She got into this work because she was driven by the conviction that every single person deserves to be laid to rest, to be given a proper farewell or a proper burial. And her passion for that definitely comes through in her work. This was such a cool thing to get to participate in, so big thanks goes out to Kyla for reaching out to us, making the drive to make this interview happen. And we're just super excited to share what she has to say with you. So let's get into it. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It is a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. And today we have two very special guests. Talking with us here is Kyla Rice. Hello, Kyla.
Hello.
Describe your job title and what you do. Like, what's the official title and explanation that you give for that? Just to introduce yourself to the people here.
My job or my dog job?
Your job. We'll get to our other guests' qualifications here in a minute.
Okay. I'm a dispatcher at Niagara County Sheriff's Office in Niagara County, New York. I've been there for almost 13 years now. So it's a fun, challenging, sometimes sad, sometimes happy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, not a bad job.
It's awesome.
It has its moments. So
yeah, ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I love working for the sheriff. We have a great organization, great people I work with.
Awesome.
Now Niagara County, do you have to deal with the actual like American side of Niagara Falls, or is that a different?
They have their own police and fire dispatch
in the city
of Niagara Falls. Yeah. So we dispatch for all the fire companies and all the police agencies in Niagara County, with the exception of Niagara Falls.
Okay,
cool.
And our other guest today is Emmerich. Tell us a little bit about Emmerich and Emmerich's qualifications as well.
Emmerich is a 4-year-old German Shepherd dog. Emmerich is a human remains detection dog. He's been at it certified for about 2 years now. Going on 3. I've had him since January of 2017. Got him as an adult. He's a great dog. Got him from Bohemian Canine out of Rochester, New York. And like I said, he was a rescue. And he's worked out wonderful. That's what I like to do. I actually, my last two dogs have been rescues. So I like to find a dog that is homeless, possibly in jeopardy of being euthanized, and give him a home and a job.
Mm-hmm. And we can verify, we've spent some time now with Emmerich today, and we can verify he's a very good dog.
Yeah, excellent.
Pre-Dead Boys seal of approval.
You want to say hi, Emmerich?
There he is. Yes, it's very nice to have you on the podcast as well. Thank you, Emmerich. Kylo, how and why did you get into human remains detection training? That seems like a morbid job.
Let's see. I started training our family dog in 1990 in obedience and some junior showmanship.
Mm-hmm. And, what kind of dog did you start with?
She was a Heinz 57. She was a mutt.
Okay.
Named Sandy.
Heinz
and
57.
Yeah, she was a good dog too. Then I got my first German Shepherd dog in 1998, purchased from a breeder. And I was training him in something called Schutzhund.
Schutzhund.
Yep, that's the tracking, obedience, and protection work.
Okay.
Found it. Max von Steffenitz, the father of the German Shepherd breed, started that to make sure that his dogs remained working dogs.
Okay.
And not turned into a lot of the American show lines you see.
Right.
That, you know.
So is that with the bite shields?
Yes.
And all that?
Bite,
okay.
Bite sleeves,
okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we went for our first title. And he passed tracking with no problem, passed obedience with no problem. We got to the protection part, the last part with the long bite. He went like bat out of hell and bit the guy, let go, and looked at me, which he shouldn't have done, so we failed. So after that, I met two men that have since passed away, Bill Tallhurst, who passed away in 2005, and Bruce Ludeman, Sr. My mom worked with Bruce at Harrison Radiators in Lockport, New York, and introduced me to those two. And I started in, say, 2000, 2001-ish. I was able to work with them until they both passed away. And they had all kinds of things. They had accelerant detection dogs. They had cadaver dogs. Cadaver was just a natural choice for me because I'd been fascinated with death mm-hmm. and decomposition and the way people grieve. Mm-hmm. And cemeteries, I'll walk through cemeteries and you know, take some pictures and read stones, you know, just for some time to myself sometimes.
Yeah.
So I have a deep respect for the deceased, and it was just a natural choice.
Very cool. I'm just curious, yeah. We were talking earlier about, you know, classic sci-fi and horror movies. Did you have, like, a morbid interest growing up that...
Absolutely.
Okay. So I imagine that plays into it a little bit, too.
Yeah. A lot of the Friday the 13th movies you know, the Freddy Krueger movies. Yeah.
I imagine there's some atmospheric stuff there that comes with growing up in Western New York.
For the longest time, my mom thought there was something wrong with me.
Well, you're in good company here.
Thank you.
So... just a quick clarifying question. Is a cadaver dog and a human remains detection dog the same thing? Is human remains detection just kind of the formal title for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Human remains detection is just a nicer way of saying it.
Gotcha.
You had a loved one missing and somebody said, oh, they're bringing a cadaver dog. You know, it just doesn't sound as, you know, as nice as human remains detection. But they're one and the same.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Because I think when we talked about cadaver dogs at one point in an episode we did before, we said that one trainer used a cue like find Fred to like get the dog in find mode, and I imagine it's kind of part of that where you don't want to say like find the body, find the corpse,
find the dead person.
Yeah.
I use out of respect, and what I was trained with, Bill Tallhurst used a word, Napoo. And he always explained that as it was an Indian word for the dead. Kaha Napu is where is the dead. And I've recently discovered that may not be the case, but it's just the word I've always used.
Yeah, just out of respect.
And I will continue to use it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's what Bill used.
Interesting. So what goes into the process of selecting dogs to train? Emmerich is a German Shepherd. You've talked about some other breeds that are... harder to train, easier to train. I don't know. Like, what goes into that process of selecting dogs?
You want a dog that's willing to work and has the drive to work. That's paramount.
Yeah.
If a dog won't work for a paycheck, they need to. You see his drive with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his paycheck. you need a dog that's eager to please and you know, ball, tug, food. I get a better response out of a dog with a ball or a tug. Some people I know train with food.
Yeah, treats, that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, but I prefer dogs with a pretty decent ball drive. And let's see, it basically turns into you find what I want, you show me you found it, you get your toy, you get your paycheck. And that play is what they look for.
Mm-hmm.
So you want a dog that's sound and bold and not afraid to be independent of its handler.
Yeah.
When they're searching, they're looking for something else, not necessarily worrying about you. But you do want a dog that's obedient. If you have a dog that's heading towards traffic, you know, you're working off leash, you have a dog that's heading towards traffic, you better make sure that dog has an emergency stop or a recall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to look for a working prospect, I usually always bring training material with me. There are some dogs you put training aids in front of and they just shut down. They don't like it. They know what it is.
Yeah. Sorry. Can you clarify training material a little bit? What are you referring to there, just for our listeners?
Well, you can use a variety of things. If you have friends that have some teeth pulled, and dentists that will give you the teeth, you can use that. If you, it depends. If you want to train on fresher blood, if you smack your toe and you stub your toe and you're bleeding, or you cut yourself and you're bleeding.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, you can put some of that on a Kleenex tissue, put it in a Ziploc bag, and throw it in the freezer for later.
Huh.
You can let it sit out. If you have friends that have children, you can ask them for their placenta. A lot of people train on that.
Yep. Mm.
There are different resources that you can get bones from, but you have to check with your state laws.
Right, yeah.
Make sure that you can have the bones and they can legally be sent to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I have to thank my mother, who recently in January of 2019 had hip replacement surgery, and she ever so gladly donated her hip.
That's so awesome.
To Emmerich's training.
That's so awesome.
Now, how long will a scent stay on a bone? Because I'm assuming you use primarily dry bones in your work.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
We train on every kind of, every spectrum, from the freshest of fresh to the oldest of old.
Okay.
I was at a training at the Center for Forensic Training and Education last year, and one of the sources that was used was from the Mississippian period, which is 800 to 1550 AD.
Wow.
The dog had no problems with it.
Wow. That's
incredible. And
last week, we just worked a problem with some coffin wood from 1849.
Very cool. So it doesn't even have to be like the physical human remains.
Right.
In contact with some kind of remains.
Yeah, as long as it's human. He's trained off of animal remains also.
Okay.
Because if you go out to, you know, you go out to the woods, you're going to come across deer carcasses.
Sure.
Or, you know, people have pig roasts, pig carcasses, raccoons, you know, cats, different things like that. So they have to be trained off of that stuff.
Yeah. That's interesting. With Emmerich, is he good at kind of detecting the different, like, I would imagine there might be a case where you're trying to find human remains, but then he finds a goose bone somewhere and... Like, when you're working, are you able to kind of distinguish between what you're trying to find and what you're not?
He will smell it. He will investigate, but he won't give an alert.
Okay.
He'll only alert on human remains.
Wow.
Okay. That's interesting, because we did see, just for some context, we did maybe like an hour of seeing him search around for some stuff at the park we're at. And it was really interesting to see him kind of walking through some of this brush and sniff it around it. Everything. I guess I assumed it would be more of like a direct beeline, but it's interesting to see him investigate a lot of things, but then know when to alert.
Right.
You're saying it? Yeah.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
You can't undog the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, Charles. You can't undog the dog. So he is gonna investigate dog smells, other things, goose poop. He's gonna investigate things like that. He also has to work the odor, especially with, you know, the bone we put out. There's not a lot of scent there.
Yeah.
Depends on the temperature. It depends on which way the wind's blowing. This is morning, so the air's going up. So you saw him cast up in the air. He had odor. had his nose up in the air, and he follows that back to where it comes from and alerts as close as he can to it.
It's so amazing to me to watch that happen, to watch a dog like very deliberately choose like one scent and just chase that down. That's so crazy to me. Give me one second. I'm going to take out my poker chip here because you gave Max and I some swag. Goodies here, some swag, including this poker chip with a beautiful photo of Emmerich. So around the edge here, we have a bunch of letters that are all like... Emmerich seems to be more qualified than like even most doctors that I know. how many certifications he has. Can you talk through that? Like what are Emmerich's like qualifications here beyond just the basic training for obedience?
Charles, my fiance, gets mad because he's got some letters after his name, and he says, "Your damn dog has more letters after his name than I do."
I was gonna, can you name them off the top of your head?
Let's see. He's got, as a lot of search dogs, a lot of requirements for certification, he's got his Canine Good Citizen through the AKC.
Okay.
Canine Good Citizen Advanced, his Canine Good Citizen Urban, I believe. He's got his Spot On from the UKC, which is similar to the Canine Good Citizen. He did the on part is the outstanding neighbor part. He did everything perfectly.
Oh, with honors.
So he got exactly.
Yeah, cum laude.
So he got his Spot On title, certified in human remains in May of 2018. He's done the farm dog certification. He has done his therapy dog certification. He's been examined by the American Temperament Test Society, and that's something that's just. There's no obedience command. It's just the dog. They put them in different situations.
Oh, okay.
You give them no commands, and it's just how the dog reacts.
Okay.
And he got his Rally 1 title, UKC Rally 1 title last year.
Rally 1?
Rally.
Okay.
Basically what that is you've seen rally racing cars.
Yeah.
It's kind of a course that they've not seen before when they race it.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah. So a rally course is basically an obedience course, and you literally get to see the map maybe 10 minutes before you run it. It's set up with 10 to 15 stations, and you have to navigate each station correctly, left turn, right turn, about turn. You have to go through cones, healing. It's just a bunch of obedience commands that you have to do right then and there. You know, there's no practice for it. It's just to do this, you know, go to each station separately.
Right.
Let's see. So he's got his Trick Dog Novice and his Trick Dog Intermediate title as well.
Nice. So you can train a human remains detection dog in a lot of different things. Are there any kind of like trainings that just kind of can't work together? Like, can you have a human remains detection dog also be a drug sniffing dog, or are there some things that just won't work together?
Well,
how does that work?
Let's see. It's been proven dogs can be trained in more than one discipline. Several dogs are trained in live find and human remains, like a lot of search and rescue dogs. I'm geared more towards the law enforcement side. I want to find that small evidence. He can find bodies, no problem, but the small evidence that's been cleaned up. I chose not to train any other discipline because you can be absolutely torn apart in court.
Torn apart in court? Okay.
Yes. So you have a dog that's trained in accelerant detection along with human remains.
Which is like if you... arson, right?
Yeah. Yep. A lot of them call them arson dogs. Well, they're not detecting arson. They're detecting accelerants.
Okay.
Used to commit the arson.
Gasoline.
Right.
Yeah.
But say you have a dog that's trained in both. And you get called to work a house fire. How do you know your dog's alerting on accelerant or a body? There are some people that will do, say, a down or a bark alert for accelerants and, say, a sit for human remains.
Oh, yeah.
My dog's strictly human remains, so there's no contamination. There's no what if this, what if that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I imagine that's a little bit of like a less of a burden on you as a trainer too, to just kind of focus on doing the one thing really well. And
yeah, that's what I want to. I want to be the best at what I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if going to court, I don't want there to be any question.
Right. Yeah.
Could your dog have alerted because there's drugs here? Could your dog and death is what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really don't have a lot of interest in the other disciplines.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're not a jack of all trades. Master of them.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that would come in, like, if someone was on trial for, you know, arson, and you had a dog that was cross-trained for, like, drugs, you can't pin a drug charge on them in court.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you want, because you can only deal with the evidence that you're actually trying.
Right.
So, okay, so that is the tearing apart thing.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. They will, well, they'll say, you know, how do you know your dog was alerting on hearing it? Could have been gas, could have been, you know. I mean, they could test it and afterwards, but still.
Yeah. Sounds kind of tricky to hold up in court.
Right.
Right.
And if you go back and watch, like, the Kaylee Anthony court
case. Oh, yeah.
That dog was torn apart, absolutely.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay, so Emmerich lives with you, yes?
Yes.
What goes into the day-to-day care of a trained dog? Do you do anything differently from other dog owners that's significant, or is it basically the same?
A lot of it's the same. I mean, he tries to get... I try to work him a little bit every day, at least on something. Obedience. It doesn't have to be human remains, but just a little something.
Hmm.
But, I mean, there's a saying that goes with German Shepherd dogs and a lot of your working breeds. A bored German Shepherd's a bad German Shepherd.
Yep. Mm.
And you got to tire him out. It's a tad worse with working dogs, but I'm pretty fortunate he's got an off switch. But he'll run every day. Because of that exercise, they generally require a little bit more food than, say, a couch potato.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They burn it off faster. Interaction with humans and other animals is all part of their training. The more things you can introduce a dog to, the more well-rounded they'll become. Just to name a few things: horses, diesel trucks, power tools, sidewalk grates, riding in a wheelbarrow. I put him in the bucket of the tractor at home.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
In the bucket of the tractor. Rode him around. He's fine.
Because you got a large amount of land, right?
5 acres.
That's big for us.
We're city boys, so we're like, what?
But he's exposed to firemen and full turnout gear. You know, that can freak dogs out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So buildings with slippery floors, anything you can get them used to, get them around. Especially if they have trouble with it, you can work them through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been pretty fortunate with him. He's not scared of much, if anything. Just not a big fan of other dogs.
Yeah.
He's functional around other dogs, but just not a fan.
So that's the only thing, is like when he's around other dogs, like pretty much anything else, he seems pretty flexible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's not had an issue with anything yet. Just like I said, other dogs, but if there's other dogs around, he can be worked on lead.
Yeah.
So.
And he's been very friendly to us.
Oh yeah.
Very, very polite, Emmerich. Thank you for being so friendly to us. Total strangers.
That's interesting. I guess it's almost like a muscle where you do have to work it a little bit every day to keep the training up. And I guess I wouldn't have really thought that with a very specialized task like this, almost. You know? But I don't know, it makes sense to keep that strong.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think about my friends who have, like, put their dogs through some obedience training. It's kind of like they do the course and then they're done. I guess it, you know, it's like less intensive than something like a professional.
A lot of people with obedience training, they do in class.
Yeah.
Don't practice at home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the 6 week or 8 week class is over with, that's it.
Starts to go out the window. Yeah.
They think the dog should remember it. No, they're not going to remember it.
Yeah.
Tip to practice.
Tip for you dog owners out there. Keep your dog sharp. Keep training them. Or else they'll poop all over your floor. Right, Max?
That was only because my parents gave her a lot of gummy bears.
Don't give your dog gummy bears.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Charles, close your ears.
They have, she was with my mom and dad this weekend. My dog was. And they have these Pyrenees, which are probably like 6 times her size. So they can eat a couple gummy bears no problem as like a little training treat. And my little 20-pound ratter cannot take that amount of sugar in her system.
Be careful. Xylitol, like in sugar-free gum. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe that's deadly to a dog.
Yeah. Mm.
So be careful with that.
Yeah. We'll have to go over that with them.
Tell your mom. Listen to the experts here.
No grapes either.
Oh, yeah. Grapes are a no-no.
She loves carrots.
That's good. Yeah. A lot of people use those as training treats.
Yeah.
We actually had the audio cut out a little bit here, but basically we asked Kyla
What kind of continuing training does Emmerich do? What do you do with dogs to kind of keep them sharp, keep them on their toes?
You just have to continually challenge them. Mm-hmm. You have to make things fun.
Yeah.
And if you always want to set your dog up for success. You don't ever want your dog to fail.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they'll give you false alerts, sometimes, you know. But you train in different environments, train with different people, train with distractors. That's why I travel. My mentors have since passed away. So I have... Stop licking your junk, dog. There's an organization called SWIG Dog, which is the Scientific Working Group on Dog and Orthogonal Detector Guidelines. I don't have my glasses.
That's all right. That was a mouthful. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, SWIG Dog, the Scientific Working Group on Dog and Orthogonal Detector Guidelines. That organization's defined the best practices for detection dogs, regardless of discipline.
Okay.
And after the dog certifies, it's recommended by SWIG Dog that the dog and the handler train a minimum of 16 hours per month, as recognized by the courts. And that's nose time, not everything else.
Wow.
You still have to work on directionals, obedience.
Yeah.
And there's days you just need to let the dog be a dog, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's days I'll just let him swim and run and just be a dog. And that's it.
That is interesting. How much, like, whether it's number of hours or like maybe the percentage of time that you have with the dog, how much that is strictly training and how much that is letting a dog be a dog?
It depends. You know, sometimes they have off days if you're, you know, doing some training with them and they're just not, sometimes they don't feel well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't feel well. There's a saying, it goes down the leash. If you don't feel well. A lot of times it'll go down the leash to the dog.
Yeah.
They know. They just know that you're not. Just take that day off. The dog doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
If he's not doing well, if he's not excited, just take the day off. Just let him. Sometimes they want a day on the couch in their pajamas to watch Vincent Price movies also.
Very relatable.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting because you see, I think when a lot of people think of a working dog, they think of like a seeing eye dog almost.
Mm-hmm.
And a seeing eye dog, if their handler leaves the house, they kind of have to be working,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it seems like Emmerich works more in those like short bursts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a temperamental thing with a German Shepherd where they just are a little more?
It depends on the training. Like I said, I will stagger his training from a little bit of scent work for 10 minutes. And then there's another time where I will put one thing out or we'll work negative areas. Or we'll work 2 acres for half an hour, 45 minutes. You got to keep their stamina up.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends on the dog.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of dogs wash out of being a working dog. A lot of dogs wash out of being seeing eye dogs. They have to have the right temperament. They have to have the right drives, eagerness to work.
That's cool. And I mean, just to use that to commend you, I think being able to rescue a dog and train it to do that without... you know, having one specially trained from birth is kind of a cool testament to the nature versus nurture of it and how much of a dog is proper handling and proper training and knowing how to work with your dog and just teach it well and be like a good lead for the dog.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of people that disagree and want to raise a dog from being a puppy. But I find that the ones that I rescue are just as close as the ones I raise from a puppy, if not even more so, because they almost realize how well they have it.
Yeah.
And I know they know they're not slated for euthanasia, but I think they know. They know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not as spoiled as those hoity-toity, uptight, purebred dogs who have a cushy life as a baby.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are trying to ban greyhound racing. There's a lot of people that are trying to ban e-collars, prong collars. But, I mean, as far as greyhound racing, that's what these dogs were bred to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bred to lay on a couch.
Right.
But there's people out there that think this is so cruel that they make these dogs race. Or, like, the sled dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Iditarod.
Yeah.
These dogs were bred to run, to race, to stay warm in that climate.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I've had friends who have had some miserable huskies who are just couch bound all the time.
Oh, and, yeah. You know, in air conditioning.
I love living in our city, but if you're a dog owner with that kind of dog, like they need space to play, to run. They need, a certain weather to be comfortable. Like,
it's hardwired in their brains to run. Same thing with a greyhound.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about different breeds, and detection dogs are almost always like medium to large breeds.
Mm-hmm.
They're athletic, they're agile, they're highly intelligent, and they have an eagerness to please their handler, like German Shepherd dogs, Belgian Malinois, Labradors, Border Collies, Golden Retrievers. If you took, say, a greyhound, for example, tried to train it for human remains, the minute that dog's off leash and sees a rabbit,
yep.
It's gone.
Gone, yep. Mm.
You can't undog the dog. That's hardwired in their brain.
Right.
Yeah.
So, not all breeds are suitable.
So there's a greyhound. What are there other breeds of dogs that you just could not see working out as human remains detection dogs?
Personally?
Sure, yeah.
I wouldn't pick anything other... I know my German Shepherds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I wouldn't pick anything, maybe a couple more other than the ones I mentioned.
Yeah.
Just because they're intelligent, they have that drive to work, they have that they want their toy, they want the paycheck.
Mm-hmm. They're already qualified and motivated.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You get, I know you had mentioned like a Basset Hound.
Right.
They're good hunting dogs. You know?
Right,
yeah.
But it just depends on the dog. Yeah. It just depends on the breed. There are some things you can't undog the dog, as Charles says. So.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the stamina thing too, just as kind of a little tidbit. What's the biggest area that Emmerich has searched?
Oh, we were on a search, I believe it was 2018, in Zoar Valley in the southern tier of New York. And that was, I believe, a 50-square-mile area.
Wow.
Jeez.
You can't search all that, obviously, but there's cliffs. People die there all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They called in some other dogs that do the same HRD and live find.
Okay.
I mean, they're looking for a body, yeah, but you need more dogs to cover that area.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So.
50 square miles, that's insane.
Something like that, yeah. It's, but there's sheer cliffs.
Mm.
A lot of people go hiking up there and go missing.
Yeah. Mm. And I imagine the types of training that you were talking about earlier of helping Emmerich distinguish between different types of remains and different objects and mixing treats in there and trying to make sure he stays on track.
Right.
I would imagine that kind of training comes into play with an area that large.
Absolutely.
Emmerich, you're not looking for all kinds of stuff. You're looking for
You're not crittering. You're not looking for other dog pee. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we do it.
Yeah.
And there's also what you train on, because a lot of times what we'll use for the training aids is we'll use like glass bottles. And or PVC pipe with holes drilled in it.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatnot. Yeah. Suet cages, whatnot. But you also have to train the dog off of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Say you continually put out teeth in a PVC pipe. That's all you use, PVC pipe. Dog's actually going to end up hitting on PVC pipe because that's what it smells all the time and it gets rewarded. It smells along with the human remains. So you... Everything you have, I have cricket cages that I'll suspend stuff with. But you also have to use the same thing. I always order more than one because I use one for the human remains and one stays way far away from it, never comes in contact with it, and I'll also place that out.
Mm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I guess if you're going to have people hiding bodies in all different kinds of ways, you want to not miss anything because the dog isn't trained on how someone disposed of a potty.
It's a dubious honor. The most well-trained PVC pipe detecting dog. It's not the most useful thing, I'm sure. So when it comes to criminal investigation and using human remains detection dogs, what do they bring to the table that you can't bring with like just a team of humans? And what would be missing from a criminal investigation without the help of dogs?
Well, they can be pretty, they can either be vital to an investigation or they can destroy an investigation.
Okay.
Depends on how well the dog's trained, how well your training records are kept up, and it depends on the spectrum of scent that you've trained on. Without them, essential evidence can be missed. try finding a dog turd under the autumn leaves. You know, like yeah. what I did with the bone. Mm-hmm. You can't see it.
Yeah.
So on a serious note, imagine you've been called to a possible body dump site from a few years ago. Bodies had ample time to decompose and be scavenged by bear and coyotes and raccoons and mice even.
Yeah.
Mice will take the bones for the calcium, especially when they're having babies.
Hmm.
How do you find all that's left after it's been scavenged and possibly washed away and covered over by leaf litter? What about the trunk of a car that there's no physical evidence, just residual?
Mm-hmm.
There was a corpse put in there and transported to a dump site in that trunk, wrapped in a tarp. They go to the dump site. They take the corpse out, bury it somewhere. I mean, your training records better be spot on.
That makes sense.
We're considered, like where your drug dogs are considered probable cause.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Cadaver dogs are only reasonable suspicion.
Okay.
So if you have a dog that checks something out, you can use that towards evidence to get a search warrant. Whereas like a drug dog, they run them around a car, boom, there's your search, you have probable cause, you can search the car.
Right.
So
if you took Emmerich onto property and he spotted, then you could use that as way to get a warrant?
Towards a search warrant.
Okay.
I don't ever do anything myself either. I'm always requested by a law enforcement agency.
Sure. Okay.
A lot of people will self-deploy and that's just a no-no.
Yeah.
So.
Going rogue. So you work alongside law enforcement pretty closely when you're, mm-hmm. when you're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
There was another instance that you were talking about, like a crime scene. Say a crime scene that's been, because I've worked him on carpet squares where I have used blood. Let it sit for 48 hours. I cleaned it up with like carpet cleaner with the oxy stuff in it.
Yeah.
To get rid of it. There's a trace amount of blood left.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they have luminol for things like that. But say somebody cleans up, they just hacked up a body in a bathtub. Dragged some of it out, some blood got on the floor, they cleaned it all up, bleached it all.
Yeah.
Half a drop of blood in the little grout line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I mean, normal forensic investigation isn't like the CSI stuff where
right.
you turn a light on and then the room is like as bright as,
right?
you know,
right.
it is with actual lights on with luminol.
With luminol.
Yeah. How much, like, trace evidence can Emmerich pick up? Like, is it half a drop of blood, or?
I've worked some drops of blood, anywhere from very fresh to as old as I have, which is going on like 20 years old now.
Wow.
I've been doing this almost 20 years. But I mean, I've taken some, my dad's going to love me for this, some saws at home and used them on some training aids.
Sure.
You really can't see much,
mm-hmm.
and you go hide that for the dog, or you put it in a scent lineup with treats and all kinds of goodies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's got to pick that out.
Man,
I also have cement at home that I've used to simulate a body that's been sealed up in the foundation of a house. Concrete's porous.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to detect that. But I have some solo cups that I made. Some training aid inside, and then some dummy ones. He's got to pick out the one that's got what I want.
That's so sharp. That's so crazy just how many things dogs can pick up that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I would never think that, I would never think to look through the fibers of a carpet for a like smidge of blood from a dragged body. It's just, it would be completely undetectable. So our last question for you, Kyla, is our most important one for the purposes of our podcast. This is very important research, investigative research. We're asking the hard-hitting questions. Kyla, in your opinion, what would be the funniest breed of dog to have trained as a human remains detection dog?
I thought about that this morning on my way here, and I would have to say a Chinese crested.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese crested?
That's like the dog that wins like the ugly dog competition every year.
Oh, right? I think I know what you're talking about. Are you pulling up a photo?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a bad wig.
They have to wear sunscreen, so I hear.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because
they have no hair.
Yeah. Yeah. They just have, like, hair on their heads and, like, little tufts on their feet.
Look at that. So. Look at that, like, 80s hair metal, like, blown out hairdo that poor dog has.
Like a flock of seagulls haircut before product.
Right.
But I guess, I mean, that makes sense because, you know, we saw Emmerich earlier running through some pretty hardy brambles and, like, thorns. And imagine this, you know, this tiny little dog might be able to get under something Emmerich couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
beyond that, they probably not as well suited.
No, they don't have the coat. He's got a double coat, so. But he got into some brambles, and along with bumping his nose on the fence, he got some got into some brambles and cut his nose. I worry about their eyes. He's got rec specs at home.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can wear.
Oh okay,
it's like the glasses protective baseball players wear.
Okay, so protective eyewear for jumping in there.
Yeah, he's got another on the eye. He's a working dog, so he gets hurt every once in a while.
He seems to take it in stride. God, he's so cute. I love him.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Before we let you go, do you have anything that you want to, like, give a shout out to or promote, or any parting words for our people who are listening and want to know more about cadaver dogs?
Well, I guess I just want to give a shout out to my mom and dad who supported me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They worried about me and, but thank my mom for her hip and, Charles for staying behind me, helping me do what I do and keeping Emmerich healthy, and, the Center for Forensic Training and Education, and as well as HRD Specialized Canine and, Paul Martin, for all the support and training opportunities I've gotten from all of them. And Dan and John from Niagara County Emergency Services as well, for being as supportive as they have been to us. We sincerely appreciate you two. Thank the two of you too. I thank you both for having me.
Yeah, it's been awesome having you. Yeah. And it's been really cool too. I know you reached out to us and said you enjoyed the podcast, and I never thought we would get the chance to talk face to face with someone who's, you know, so well trained in all of this stuff. It's been really awesome. Thanks for driving down here to Ohio and meeting up with us.
No problem. Yeah. My pleasure. We can do it again in the future at some point if you
want
to do it again.
Oh, I'll be thinking of more questions.
Sure.
I'm sure at some point. But yeah, thanks again for meeting up with us. This is awesome.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again to Kyla and Emmerich for this awesome interview, and thanks to y'all for listening. We would love to hear from you. We talked with Kyla, and I would say things went well. It was pretty fun. We were thinking about doing another interview. Would you have questions for her? You know, any questions you would want to ask a cadaver dog trainer? Should we do other interview episodes? Do you have any other thoughts, questions, comments? We want to hear from you. Come talk to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can also email us, predeadboys@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, just search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast, and we also have a Discord. Message us, and we'll send you an invite to that. It's very cool, very active, a lot of fun, so make sure you check that out. If you'd like to support what we do, one of the best ways you can do that is to join our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/predeadboys. You can pledge a monthly donation and get some special exclusive goodies in return. I want to give a shout out to our new patrons. For $1 per month, we've got Stefania Bodia. Hope I pronounced that right. Sorry, Stefania. And for $5 per month, we have Danica Lafitte. Or is it Lafitte? I don't know how much of an accent to put on that. So sorry if I butchered your names. We really appreciate the extra financial support for our podcast. Another way you can support us is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and we will read it right here on air. For example, we have a 5-star review from M.E.K. Mommy. They say, love death positivity. I literally Googled podcasts about death, and I'm so glad this one came up. I started at pod 1 and have already binged through way too many. The topics are great, the humor appropriate, the purposeful attempt at making sure to use proper language and references is so refreshing, and y'all definitely have an invite to come visit down in Louisiana and see some of my favorite cemeteries and long-lost graveyards. Yes, I've been a victim of our floating caskets way too many times. Okay, M.E.K. Mommy, thank you so much. That is truly horrifying. I would love, when all this COVID bullshit is over and done with, if our country can get its shit together, we would love to visit Louisiana. I don't know how I would feel about seeing a floating casket. It sounds exciting and horrifying. So maybe we'll see a floating casket down there. But whether we make it down there or not, thank you so much for the positive review. We really appreciate ya. And the single best thing you can do to support our podcast, it don't cost a thing. We don't advertise, so the best support that you can offer this show is just to tell your friends about this show. Share it on social media. Tell one of your family members, like, hey, sorry I couldn't come over for Thanksgiving because there's a global pandemic, but if you want to, you can listen to this podcast about a really good dog who detects human bodies. I don't know. Get creative. Just tell your friends about the show. That's the single best way you can support it. Just keep this word of mouth thing going. We would really appreciate that. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. You can stream their music on Spotify or wherever. And that's going to do it for us. Thanks again so much for supporting us. We hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you soon. Dorian here reminding you, you're going to ride.